5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Sabre set, it's go!
Good afternoon. My name is Eddie Gaines and welcome to another of our 10 Radio Somerset Is Go programmes, dedicating to looking at how the recession is impacting upon the people and businesses of the 10 parishes, Taunton and the surrounding areas. These programmes are supported by Taunton Deans Recession Busting Fund, which has been put into place to support small businesses such as 10 Radio during these difficult times. Now, this week's programme, we're featuring the modern solicitor practice. We're going to be looking at legal services and how they are being delivered in Somerset, how they can help and provide legal services and other advice to businesses and individuals in these very complex times. Also in this programme, we're going to be asking the question, is Wiverliscombe a town or is it a village? Can local people in Wiverliscombe influence whether Wivy becomes officially recognised as a town? Well, there's news about a future parish council meeting where it may be finally resolved. And we'll also be letting you know about the latest business news, in particular changes to employment regulations coming into effect yesterday on the 6th of April. So you may want to listen carefully to our main feature, which is on modern legal aid services.
This programme has been sponsored by Taunton Deane Borough Council through their Recession Relief Fund. The fund was created to support organisations such as 10 Radio, helping local communities deal with the effects of the economic recession.
I mean, almost daily we're seeing more rules and regulations being created and altered to bring them up to date with current thinking in the workplace. So the question is, just who should you go for up-to-date advice and guidance on the law and how it impacts on what you want to do or to achieve? I mean, whether you're already running your own business or thinking of starting your own venture, or on a more personal basis, going through difficult times in your own working life, personal life, or just planning to make or revise your will, for example, to pass on your own wealth or even the business to family, friends, or your favourite charity. According to the UK Law Society, there are currently over 140,000 individual solicitors registered to practice in the UK. That's probably almost one solicitor for every 400 citizens. And with almost 17,000 law firms or organisations active in England and Wales, providing legal services direct to the public, I mean, it is a growing profession. And they're also, the government is also proposing changes to the way legal profession can operate. There's something called Tesco Law that may well be coming in the future, where people will be able to buy their legal advice at places like Tesco. So where exactly do you go to service your current and future legal aid needs? To help Somerset Is Go, 10 Radio has visited a Somerset-based practice, Pardo's Solicitors in Taunton, and spoken to their chief executive officer Dennis Rayner about what services you can get from a modern solicitor practice in Somerset. I mean, he'll also be giving his opinion on what levels of business growth and opportunities can be expected if major investments such as EDS proposal to build another nuclear power station at Hinkley Point are agreed and realised. Well, over to myself and Dennis Rayner at Pardo's. I'm sitting here in the boardroom of Pardo's Solicitor on near Hankridge in Taunton, and I'm speaking to Dennis Rayner, the Chief Executive Officer of Pardo's. Good afternoon to you, Dennis.
Good afternoon.
Dennis, you're Chief Executive of Pardo's, which is a solicitor firm that's based entirely in the southwest. Can you tell me a little bit about Pardo's and its role?
Yes, we're a broad-based firm of solicitors offering a wide range of services. We started off in Bridgewater in 1925, opened in Taunton in the 1980s, and we've opened in Yeovil about 3 or 4 years ago. And I think, you know, we're very much totally orientated at the moment towards Somerset. We're born in Somerset, we're bred in Somerset, and we're looking to ensure that we deliver services to our clients who are based in Somerset, and hopefully, as time goes by, in a broader southwest area.
Solicitors such as Pardo's, in this sort of modern complex world, how do you see a solicitor being placed in the business community?
I think it's a very good question, because actually there's a huge amount of change at the moment. There's a bill that's going through Parliament at the moment, irrespective, I think, of whatever happens in the next general election. But in 2012, there's something called the Legal Services Bill, which is actually changing radically the way that law firms will operate in the future. Up until now, you have to be a solicitor to be able to own a solicitor's firm and provide legal services to be it the business community or the private clients. However, from 2012, that's all going to change. And there can be non-solicitors owning firms, there can be external investment. And I think you'll see, you know, we've heard about things like Tesco Law, where maybe some of the large supermarkets or people like the Co-op will offer various different range of legal services. So, interestingly, the days of the traditional high street solicitor that maybe was a bit like your general practitioner as a doctor are likely to go very, very quickly. And so I think one of the other issues is that the law is becoming more and more complex, or rather litigation around the law is becoming much more complex. And so therefore there is, because of increasing regulation, there's a much greater requirement for solicitors and people within the law to specialise. And so, you know, one of the key areas within Pardo's is that we now have many more specialists, be it employment law or clinical negligence or personal injury on one side, or dealing with conveyancing or probate, wills and trusts, helping businesses, etc. They all require specialist knowledge, and it's becoming more and more complex. So I think we see a situation where you do have to specialise. But interestingly, from a customer or a client's point of view, whereas in the past, I think a lot of people would be very nervous, I'm sure, coming to a solicitor's office, and they'd look at the clock on the wall and they'd hear the tick-tock, tick-tock, and I think, goodness, that's another £10 gone. Well, I think, you know, again, those days are beginning to diminish as well. Like most businesses, we're working towards fixed fees. We are able to tell the client very much up front what it's going to cost. And overall, I think value for money, legal services are certainly a lot more competitive now than they were, and increasingly there's going to be greater competition. However, as far as the market is concerned as a whole, of course, cheap doesn't always mean good. And I think what's going to happen with the Legal Services Bill is that you will get large-scale providers of certain services, be it conveyancing or maybe cheap wills or whatever, that will provide a sort of a Google-type service. And that will be great for a number of people that just, they know exactly what they want, they're knowledgeable, and they can just go ahead and do what they want. However, for the vast majority of us, actually a lot of things within law are very, very complex. We actually need somebody to talk to. And more importantly, probably in the future, as the whole world becomes more complex and there are more pitfalls, then being able to sit down with somebody to give honest, decent advice is going to be, I think, increasingly beneficial.
Yeah, I think you're right, because it seems to be that if anyone has an idea or wants to do something with their property or start a business, there's always someone out there who says, you can't do that. And so something like yourselves are able to support someone who wants to develop and then bring that to a successful conclusion.
Yes, I think certainly if you're looking to start up a new business, which is a classic example, yes, you'd probably go and talk to Business Link. You'd probably go and talk to your bank. You'd talk to your accountant. A lot of people actually don't talk to their solicitors because you need to be able to set the business up in the right way, and you need to ensure that it's how it's incorporated, whether it should be incorporated, the issues around each. And actually, step by step, certainly if it's something like a partnership, are you protected? How do these things work? So actually, we all the professional intermediaries have a role in helping people to do the right thing so that they are protected from day one, because an awful lot of, for example, an awful lot of new businesses go bust very, very quickly, or things go wrong, and it's often because people don't have the right advice at the right time. And Pardo's, I mean, one of the extensions that we offer, which is probably very, very rare for a legal firm, is actually we can even help people with strategies, business plans and so on. Because if somebody's got a great idea, that's step one. The important thing is then how you develop it and also how you make money out of it.
You're not the only type of solicitor in this area. So what makes Pardo's different in this part of Somerset?
Well, I think if you use a solicitor, you expect expertise. So I think that's not really a differentiator. We would say, you know, we're experts and we're very good at what we do. But I would sincerely hope that all of our colleagues and peers out there would be exactly the same. Hopefully what we're trying to get across is the fact that we're human. We recently had a staff conference, and for those of you that like contemporary music, The Killers' Human was the strap line that we did for the whole of our conference. And we showed a whole series of images of both our clients, Somerset, our locality, and of our people. And the fact is, I think going forwards, the big difference between choosing somebody to work with is about relationships. And it's how you can empathise with your client. And I can say this because I'm not a solicitor, but I think a lot of solicitors historically have viewed what they've offered as, you know, this is the law, I know what I'm talking about, and you, the client, will just receive. Whereas I think what we're trying to do is recognise that all of our clients have needs. And actually, I don't think very many people wake up in the morning and think, what should I do today? I'm going to go and see my solicitor and have a great big smile on their face, because it isn't something necessarily that people really look forward to doing. And I can't say for one moment that that's, you know, we're going to change that, but hopefully we can make it less of a difficult experience, because most times that people use solicitors, it is very much a distressed purchase. It may be you've been made redundant, or it may be that you're buying and selling a house, or there's something gone wrong with your marriage. They tend to be very difficult times in people's lives. And so what I hope is that we provide that empathy with our clients, which is so critical, is to understand how other people think. And it's quite easy for people like me, because I'm not a solicitor. I tend to think as a client and a customer. And so what is it that I would feel like? How would I want to be spoken to? What sort of service would I like to receive? And I think, you know, if we're seeing a radical change, it will probably be in the way that the service is delivered.
Well, I think it's a good time to stop for some music, and I think we'll have The Killers and You're Only Human.
I did my best to notice when the call came down the line, up to the platform of surrender. I was brought, but I was kind. And sometimes I get nervous when I see an open door. Close your eyes, clear your heart. Cut the cord. Are we human? Or are we dancer? My sign is vital. My hands are cold. And I'm on my knees looking for the answer. Are we human? Or are we dead? My sign is vital.
So that was The Killers and You're Only Human, and I'm talking to Dennis Rayner, the chief executive of Pardo Solicitors in Taunton. Before the music, Dennis, we're talking about how Pardo's supports a whole range of things. Can you tell me a bit about your services to companies?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're fortunate, I suppose, to be able to be large enough to be able to provide them for a complete range. Interestingly, in Somerset, there are 22,000 VAT registered companies, but something like only 200 with more than 200 staff. So there are, you know, a very significant number of small businesses in Somerset, which is, I think, actually the West Country is quite unique. So obviously we're very used to dealing with both the smaller businesses and also the larger businesses, because, you know, there's a whole range of requirements for them. So if you're starting up in business, or if you've got general business transactions, then, you know, the whole way that the business is created, all the documentation around that is one thing. Or it might be that you've got a specific idea that you want protected or patented or whatever else, and so that's another element that we can deal with. Or it may be that you're looking to acquire a commercial property, and dealing with commercial property, whether it's leasehold or freehold, is quite different from residential properties. I mean, obviously there's certain similarities, but, you know, everything to do with the legislation is a fundamental difference, and the way that the leases very often are constructed are different. So commercial property is another area, and then obviously employment and HR advice. We have an employment team, and so I think a lot of issues too for new employers, as soon as you start employing staff. And obviously, this is a recession-busting program, so hopefully a lot of businesses will be looking to recruit staff. But it is an absolute minefield. At Pardo's, we're very fortunate that we actually have another venture alongside us called Pardo's Bevans, which is an HR human resources business, which can actually help with both the advertising and looking for staff, the training of staff, and also the whole employment contractual elements of staff, which is different from perhaps what a law firm would do. A law firm would tend to look at the law and, are you doing things the right way? If you're trying to make decisions, are you employing staff the right way? Whereas HR is probably much softer series of skills, which is obviously recruiting the right people, making sure they're in place, making sure that their contracts, their appraisals, and everything else is correct. Whereas a solicitor will ensure that all the appropriate contracts and, you know, the way that they're worded are absolutely crucial. Perhaps just going back to some of the other elements of where we can help, just talking about contracts, one of the things that we've noticed is that more and more companies, they have contracts. You know, if you go and buy double glazing, there's a contract or whatever else. And getting those contracts to be both legally correct and also appropriate for your business is very, very important. And I think a lot of people probably tend to take stuff off the internet and perhaps adapt it. But there can be so many issues, especially if people are unhappy with whatever it is that you've offered. You know, the legislation and perhaps people potentially suing you, it can be an absolute minefield. And unless you get your contracts absolutely watertight, it is worth paying a little bit more to actually have it done properly, because the potential losses, if you get it wrong, could be huge. So I think, you know, there's all of those sorts of services that we would offer. And I think inevitably, if you come in and, you know, you've got an issue, then hopefully we'll be able to identify those various things that we would be able to help with. But also say, well, actually, I think you should talk to an accountant about this. Or have you spoken to your bank about this? And I think, you know, probably all the professional services tend to recognise where we can help and where we can't help. And I think the important thing is where you don't have the knowledge to be able to advise somebody, whether it's perhaps on advanced taxation, which you would expect an accountant to be able to help with, that's when you say, no, that's great, we can help you so far, but I would suggest that you speak to somebody else. So I think part of the skill is actually knowing when to stop as well as when to start?
I mean, I've met quite a lot of very small businesses, and they're running very very good businesses, but they seem to be constrained because they're reluctant to take on staff, because they just see that as a big problem. That, you know, they always look on the black side of things, that you know, if something goes wrong, I'm going to end up at an industrial tribunal and that sort, because I've, you know, sacked the person. I mean, is this an area where Pardo's can really support a small business in putting the right sort of personnel procedures in place?
Yes, and I think that's why the HR business is so important to us, because, all due respect to solicitors, a lot of small businesses don't need solicitors necessarily for some of the HR contracts, maybe some of the more specific things if they go wrong, but a good HR person will know how to construct a contract, they'll understand the legislation, and they will appreciate what you should and what you shouldn't do. Interestingly, in our experience, most issues that employers face are not that they've necessarily done the wrong thing, they've just done it in the wrong way, and they haven't necessarily followed the letter of the law, if you like, and how they've done things. So if they've made somebody redundant or they've sacked somebody, the whole thing may have been quite a reasonable and rational thing to do, but maybe they didn't dot this I or cross that T or do things in the right way. And that's where an HR person can be so helpful. And I think an awful lot of tribunals can be avoided if you do things the right way. So that, to be fair, is one of the reasons why we've set up an HR business alongside the law firm, because actually legal services can be expensive, and whereas HR support can be much more accessible. And, you know, I think we would rather see people spend a little bit less and make sure they get the right service and do the job properly than spending nothing at all and then ending up with a big bill later.
Of course, there's also the area of diversity in the workforce,
yes,
isn't it? Equal opportunities. And is that another area where Pardo's can advise people on supporting disabled people in people's organisations?
Certainly, the HR business would probably be more so. Again, the lawyers would tend to look at it from a legal perspective and would say, yes, you should do this, you shouldn't do that, this is what the letter of the law says, and this is what it doesn't do. But I think our HR business would say, well, actually, this is how you should advertise appropriately, these are the sorts of policies that you should have, and you know, this is what you should comply with. And it's okay, perhaps, in certain instances to be proactive and looking for people like this, etc., etc. So, yes, absolutely. But I think it is a lot of these things are technical minefields. And the last thing you'd want to do is stop anybody taking on staff, because I think it is a real frustration. And certainly you can understand businesses that say you're a one-person business, and the hassle of taking on somebody else can be absolutely massive. So if you can try and sort of smooth as much of that way as possible, well, then it would be wise to do.
Of course, you see so many small businesses that where they haven't taken on staff, or they've not planned for succession, that they end up having to close the business or sell it on. And I understand that that's also another area where Pardo's can advise on how to end your business or pass it on to a new proprietor, can't you?
Yes, absolutely. I think there's two elements to this. You've touched on something which is actually very dear to my heart, which is actually business planning. And a lot of businesses, whether you're a small business or whether you're a large business, I'm afraid this is a rather hackneyed phrase, a lot of businesses fail to plan, and therefore they actually plan to fail. And so succession planning is a key factor. But actually just knowing where your business is going is a crucial thing. A lot of people are getting up to retirement, and maybe the value of their business is perhaps not what it was, or they don't even know where it's going. And you know, we've got a service that enables to work with businesses to help them have a strategy, to help them either grow the business if they're, you know, at that part of the stage, if you like, so Where are they going? Where is that business? What are their markets? What are they looking for? How are they doing? Having a marketing plan, having a business plan. And I don't mean a banking business plan, because if, you know, if you're borrowing money from a bank, you need to put together a business plan. It's a lot more comprehensive than that. It is actually, what is your business? What are the key components of it? Where do you want it to go? And what sort of competences does your business have? And what sort of competences do your people, or what things do you require going forwards? So I think it is generally, a lot of people have their head in the sand and they think, oh, well, I'll just keep going on for another year, or I'll just keep on a little bit longer. And unfortunately, if you carry on doing what you've always done, you always get what you've always got. Sorry, that's another hackneyed phrase as well. But it is important to plan, and absolutely we can help with that. Or in disposing of a business and trying to find the right buyer, dealing with the property, making sure you get the right deal, making sure the contracts are right. Absolutely, the legal bit's there as well.
And of course, quite a lot of businesses are run by couples and that sort of thing. And so often there may be a change of heart, couples break up. One partner might be wanting to do one thing, another partner might be wanting to do another. So again, that's another area where Pardos can intercede.
Well, obviously, we can't have conflicts, so we can intercede on behalf of one of the parties. We could intercede on behalf of the business as a whole and perhaps give general guidance, but obviously what we can't do is, in that particular situation that you've identified, act for both parties, so absolutely.
Right. Of course, you also do a lot of work for charities or not-for-profit organisations, because in many respects they're running a business just like an ordinary business, except they might be set up with a board of trustees, you know. So how can you support not-for-profit organisations?
Well, we have a charitable policy. We're also members of an organisation called Business in the Community. We do some pro bono work where we act on behalf of two or three charities, and we do provide secretarial services for nothing for them. Obviously, we can't provide that for every single non-profit making organisation in West Somerset, as much as we would love to. But we are passionate about the community. We're passionate about businesses. We've been involved with people like St Margaret's Hospice and BIBIC and various other organisations. And clearly we would like to be able to do more. But maybe if it's just a question of just little bits of advice here and there, happy to be involved. We're very happy for many of our people to be school governors, and we're keen to get involved in most elements of it. But like every business these days, we get inundated for requests for sponsorship money left, right and centre, and sadly we're not a bottomless pit, so we've had to sort of look very much towards what charitable giving we can give and what involvement we have. So it is trying to sort of limit it to certain areas and actively get involved. Another area is in schools, and we've got a particular scheme with Yeovil Town Football Club, and we've sponsored the family stand at the cricket club last year as well, trying to actually work with children and work with schools, because if we don't get young people right, we're not going to get tomorrow right. And so it's important that we're actively involved, certainly in the early stages as well.
Well, I think that's a cue for another song, and I think we'll have the Beach Boys and Surf's Up, where the message is, the child is a father to the man.
A diamond necklace played the pawn, hand in hand, sun from the long walk, to a handsome man in the town. Diamond, diamond. A flying class aristocracy, back to the opera class, you see, appeared in the Trumpeter's sweet.
Silver moon, carriage across the fog, to step to lamplight cellar tune. The laughs come hard in auld lang syne. The glass was raised to fire and rose the fullness of the wine, the dim last toasting. While at port ado were done, a choke of grief heart-hardened I, beyond belief, a broken man too tough to cry. Surf's up.
Well, that was the Beach Boys and Surf's Up, and that is one of my favourite songs. How about you, Dennis?
Yes, I have to say, it's one of mine too. I'm a great Beach Boys fan, and Pet Sounds is also another one of my favourite albums.
Brian Wilson is a genius.
Absolutely.
I wonder if he'll ever play at the Gaumont in Taunton.
It would be very nice. I know he played Colston Hall last year in Bristol, and I miss seeing him, but the Gaumont would be great. So the sooner we can get that organised, the better.
Listen to Somerset Is Go for a later programme, where we'll probably be doing a special on Project Gaumont. Anyway, I'm talking with Dennis Rayner, chief executive of Pardo Solicitors, based in Taunton. Dennis, we were talking before the Beach Boys about company support. How about support for individuals?
Well, obviously that's the other mainstream of our business, is looking after people, because after all we're a people business, and also trying to be empathetic to people within the areas that we operate in. So recognise that West Somerset is a very rural community, as in fact is most of Somerset, and so one of the critical things that we try to understand is that which is why we've got offices stretched around the county, is to make it sure that it's accessible for individuals to be able to get to. But yes, absolutely, we offer a complete range of services for individuals. Obviously, we're talking about recession busting, so employment services on behalf of individuals. So if people have been unfortunately made redundant, or they've got issues at work, then obviously we can help there. All the usual things like conveyancing or making wills. And did you know that 70% of the population don't actually have a will, which is absolutely frightening? And we're on a real crusade to encourage more and more people to make wills, because if anything were to happen and you don't have a will, then very often I'm almost guaranteed that the result that you wanted to happen won't happen.
Is it true you also need to revisit the will? Because certainly I had my will redrafted within the last year. Fundamentally it was no different from the previous will, but there were certain legal words that needed to be in place, just so there wasn't any ambiguity in where I wanted to leave my record collection, for example.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the law changes quite regularly, and certainly we tend to write to all of our will holders every three years or so, just to review, just to make sure that people are comfortable. And I mean, for example, I mean, you talk about leaving your record collection, but some people like to leave their money to charities. It may be that you've fallen out with a cat's home in the last 3 years, and now you want to leave it to the horse's home. So I mean, it's important to be able to review these things. It's not in the overall scheme of things, it's not an expensive process, but at least it means that you feel comfortable and assured that your affairs are in order. So I mean, as we sort of, I don't want to digress on wills, but it is one of those crucial things that I think most of us tend to feel that we'll live forever. And so, therefore, we won't make a will. But it is something that is just so sensible. And I certainly sort of did it when I had our first child. And that's something that sort of spurs you on. So, I mean, frankly, everybody should have one. But anyway, going on to services for individuals, Yes, there's a complete range of, I mean, whether it's family issues, if things go wrong from that point of view, obviously we're there to advise, even if obviously it never progresses any further, and hopefully it doesn't. So, you know, we actually offer free sessions to prevail for people just to be able to come in and have a chat and talk about their problems and concerns and where they might go next. Yeah. Another important thing, unfortunately, my mother-in-law has recently gone into a care home, and care home planning is a very, very expensive proposition, and unfortunately, you know, you don't have to have very much money to be over the limit to stop you getting any state help at all. And so a lot of people have to sell their houses, or they have to give money in trust in plenty of time. So care home planning, it's an increasing issue, especially for an ageing population, which we have certainly in West Somerset and certainly a lot of the South West. And actually preparing for that and all of those other elements around powers of attorney, etc., making sure that those sorts of things are looked after in plenty of time, because if you haven't got your power of attorney in place at the right time, you know, it can cause some real issues.
There's also things like equity release things, which seem very positive, but several years down the line, and if you have a family which you want to pass your assets onto, it can be a problem.
Equity release is something that needs to be treated very, very carefully, and again, it's crucial to be able to get the right advice. And certainly, if clearly we can help with that, and we work with independent financial advisors and other people that to recommend these things. But yes, some of these things can be an absolute minefield, and certainly in the late 80s and early 90s, an awful lot of people got very badly burnt with equity release. And again, I think that's where you need professional advice, just to be able to at least give you that degree of comfort.
And of course, we recently had a budget where the Chancellor was freezing inheritance tax, for example, or the level of inheritance tax for at least the length of the next parliament. What sort of advice can you give to individuals who want to protect their, well, I forgot the word is,
their wealth?
That's, yes, right.
Yes. Well, yeah, I mean, I think it's interesting, our probate and wills team will keep telling me that actually everybody is different. I think it's very difficult to give generic advice, but the thing is to take advice, and that's one of the points of doing a will, is to make sure that you set out the will in the right way, and getting that advice that will certainly enable you to make the most of your inheritance tax allowances. And if you go beyond that, obviously, how you can best mitigate some of the potential tax issues. But I think it is something that, as a solicitor, and we would work with our taxation people as well, it is important that everybody's situation is probably subtly different. And so therefore, unless it's a very, very simple will, there really is a requirement to get good, sound advice, which is absolutely pertinent to your own situation and also your own requirements.
Now, if I've got a particular problem, could I expect total confidentiality?
Absolutely. I mean, crikey, we wouldn't be in business if it wasn't totally confidential. It is absolutely key. I mean, there are some bedrocks that our business is built on. First of all, is that the legal advice that we give has to be right, and secondly, the way that we work with you as a client absolutely is confidential. I couldn't even contemplate it being anything else. I mean, that's just, you know, we are a professional services firm, and I think there are certain things that you expect from professionals, not necessarily footballers, but professionals.
Yeah. And I know Pardo supports the Brew House, for example, with exhibitions and that sort of thing. What other things do you organise for maybe businesses?
You know, we're certainly involved in sponsorship with the Oval Town. We're involved in the cricket club. We've done a number of events. We support Bridgewater Town Rugby Club, Bridgewater Town Football Club. We've, say, St Margaret's Hospice, we've already talked about before, and Bibbit. We try to support local things for local exhibitions and At the Brew House, for example, as you say, you know, we support SCAT with their art exhibitions. Again, there's a limit to what we can do, but we are trying to be able to work with the communities and to work with local businesses to be able to try and work together to showcase things. So that's on perhaps more on the sponsorship side. A very exciting development that's happening in both the Bridgewater and West Somerset area is the development around Hinckley. And we've been instrumental in working with both the Somerset, Taunton and Bridgewater Chambers of Commerce to see how we can help to enable businesses to really reap the benefit of this. There is potentially, and we're talking about recession busting here, EDF are potentially talking about a £15 billion investment over the next 7 to 9 years. That is going to be probably the single biggest investment the whole of the South West has ever seen. Now, unfortunately for the South West and for our area, the amount of money that's actually going to be spent with local businesses is probably going to be only 2 to 3%. However, that is a massive chunk of money. And we have seen this, and we've been a bit concerned, to be perfectly honest, that an awful lot of local business probably isn't as aware as it should be of the opportunities that this provides. Because it's going to, you know, we are talking about potentially 3,000 to 4,000 workers coming down for the next 7 years in various different times with their families. So there could be an influx of, whether it's temporary workers or families, of maybe another 5,000 to 7,000 people. For example, EDF were saying that when they did their, or they're in the process of finishing one off in northern France at the moment, they created 2 or 3 villages purely and simply to accommodate the staff that were working on the site and the development. They said they would never do that again because obviously when they started finishing off or working at the site, they then put all the properties up for sale, completely crucified the local housing market, and so this time they're looking to do it very differently. And so there's, you know, there's going to be large infrastructure projects, there are going to be other projects that are going to require more housing, but it's, you know, the needs are going to be huge, whether it's around catering, whether it's around entertainment, and people are going to be drawn from quite a significant area, certainly from, you know, West Somerset side, the Bridgewater side. And it's for 7 years as far as development is concerned. We're talking also of creating 800 new student places at Bridgewater College to perpetuate nuclear style technology, because the further opportunity that we see for this area is very much around creating sustainable businesses that will be dealing with the other 9 nuclear sites that are going to be created throughout the rest of the UK over the next 20 years. We have a huge, huge requirement for more nuclear energy. And I think the real hope of perhaps the Chamber of Commerce and ourselves is that local people can really benefit. We're the first. So if we can get the skills in place, if we've got the expertise, then absolutely we can deliver that throughout the rest of the projects. And of course, you know, the nuclear power station is going to be around to at least 2050, so there's an ongoing requirement for staff as well, and the development is certainly going to be for the next 20 years throughout the rest of the UK. So, say, so we've been actively working with the Chamber of Commerce and the local businesses to try and get both lobbying with EDF and also to ensure that from a procurement point of view, local businesses get the benefit of it, because I think a lot of businesses need to skill up. They need to have the appropriate level of understanding about the opportunity. But because aerospace is quite a big thing in Somerset, then a lot of people have got used to the skills required, and nuclear is very similar, has got very similar requirements to aerospace. And if you can do aerospace, you can certainly do the sort of ancillary elements around nuclear. And so we see an opportunity to be able to help the various tier 4, 5, 6 and 7 contractors, because the big contracts are out with the, you know, the big multinational firms, who probably will need to work together to provide services and products for the new power stations. And certainly what EDF have said is actually they'd rather than buy lots and lots of widgets from lots and lots of different companies, if a number of companies can work together in partnership to provide a finished article of some description, then that's the way that they would like to contract, and that's the way they'd like to trade going forwards. So again, you know, we feel absolutely instrumental in helping and working together with companies to be able to enable them to do that, to both advise them on the contracts, the contracting process, and to understand, you know, what's actually happening out there.
Well, I think you've also hit on another aspect of your work. It is influencing people.
Yeah.
And being in the right place at the right time, joining networks and joining networks together, because I should say Hinkley Point has the potential to really revitalise this part of the world.
Yes, it does, and I think because we're passionate about Somerset, we're passionate about the local community, we're passionate that the local community gets some benefit out of this, and it's making people aware of the opportunities. And I think, you know, naturally we're a little bit competitive. I mean, I'm not talking about firms of solicitors here, but generally companies tend not to work in partnership. But, you know, we see great opportunities working with, you know, accountants, other firms, solicitors, perhaps in areas that we can't act, but certainly working with the councils and the chambers of commerce. It is absolutely essential, as you say, working together in networks, in partnership. It is all about relationships, and it's about actually making things happen.
I mean, we're obviously very pleased that Pardo's is supporting Ten Radio in giving us practical, professional help and support for a lot of our forthcoming programmes. You've already given us help in our Looking for a Job, the second programme that we did, where we had Becky Bevans came in on talking about, how to put a CV together, present yourself for interview and that sort of thing. So I do look forward to speaking to yourself and some of your colleagues over the next few months.
Well, we're very pleased to be part of this because, as I say, we're passionate about the local community. We certainly see what Ten Radio is doing is absolutely key to informing people about what's going on, what are the opportunities out there. So I have to say we're absolutely thrilled to be working in partnership with you.
And one more music request from you, Dennis?
Well, I think we're talking about partnership. You know, we're pleased to be working in partnership with yourselves. So another record from the past. What about Canned Heat? Let's work together.
Great song. Thank you very much, Dennis, and thank you for your time.
No, thanks very much for the opportunity. It's been great. Thank you.
This programme has been sponsored by Taunton Deane Borough Council through their Recession Relief Fund. The fund was created to support organisations such as Ten Radio, helping local communities deal with the effects of the economic recession.
Yeah, and thank you very much to Dennis Rayner of Pardo's for explaining to us about the modern solicitor practice, what it has got to offer. I mean, most of us are going to need expert legal help at some time in our lives. The law can be complicated, and it's so important to get the best advice you can. Solicitors are the experts when it comes to law and how it affects you. A solicitor will advise you on your rights and options available to you in any legal matter. They will also explain some of the legal complexities and will help you identify the issues to consider, sort the wheat from the chaff, give tactical advice, and may even save you time and money. And of course, a firm of solicitors may offer a range of services on a whole wide area of, including buying a home, making a will, setting up in business, renting out your property, getting a divorce, making a personal injury claim, as well as probate and financial matters for the elderly. All solicitors in private practice must hold a practicing certificate issued by the Solicitors Regulatory Authority, which is the independent regulator set up by the Law Society, which sets the rules for all solicitors which they must follow. This also guarantees that the solicitor is qualified to practice and has insurance to protect you if anything goes wrong. Finding a list of solicitors in your area is quite easy using the Law Society helpline, for example. You can call 0870 606 2555, or visit their website. That's at www.lawsociety.org.uk, and they will help you find a solicitor for the type of law or advice that you are seeking. And I say thank you very much to Dennis Rader from Pardo's for talking to us this afternoon. Now, latest employment news. Well, this is probably where companies like Pardo's can help, because yesterday was the 6th of April. Not only was it the start of a new tax year for all, but employees working in companies with more than 250 staff have now got the right to ask for training. It's called Time to Train. And it's a new regulation which covers businesses that employ more than 250 people, although the right will be extended to include all employees from April 2011. Under these changes, the employees can request time to pursue relevant study or training, and employers are obliged to take any request seriously. The training needs to improve the employee's effectiveness in their job or contribute to the performance and productivity of the business. Employers don't have to approve every request and can refuse them if there's a good business reason to do so. And the type of regulation is called Time to Train. And if you're an employee working in a company with more than 250 people, or you're a business that employs more than that, if you look on the Business Link website and do a search for Time to Train, you can find out more about it. Also, yesterday, employment tribunals were given extra powers. And this is where employees who have won have been awarded damages at a tribunal will be given additional powers for securing their money. They can ask for High Court enforcement officers to pursue employers who fail to pay awards in cases where workers have been unfairly dismissed or discriminated against. It's called the Employment Tribunal Fast Track Program, which will mean that on payment of a £50 court fee, enforcement officers can be tasked with seizing the assets of a non-paying employer. The Justice Minister, Bridget Prentice, said, "The government is determined to ensure people are not denied access to justice by a small minority of unscrupulous individuals or companies who refuse to respect the award." And apparently about 39% of employees awarded claims by tribunals are not finally paid. And then we have a really significant overhaul of the sick leave system, for example. Employees who are off work sick for more than 7 days from the 6th of April are to be issued fit notes rather than sick notes by their GPs. Under this new fit note system, GPs will be able to say whether someone is not fit or may be fit for work. And if they may be fit for work, the doctor can suggest what aspects of their job they can still carry out. Then it will be up to the employer to help the employee to return to work in some capacity. The fit notes replace the traditional sick notes, which simply stated whether someone was fit for work or not fit for work. Now GPs will be required to declare someone not fit for work or fit for work, taking into account the following advice. And if the employee is deemed fit for some work, their GP will detail whether a phased return to work is required and whether the employee's duties and hours need to be altered and whether any workplace adaptations should be introduced. Obviously, this is a major change to the way sickness notes are given out by GPs, and it's something I'm sure we will need to cover in a future programme on 10 Radio's Somerset Is Go. This change was welcomed by Katja Hall, Director of Employment Policy at the Confederation of British Industry, saying, "This is a change that employers will welcome. All too often, a person is signed off sick when they are able to manage some forms of their work." So, is Wiveliscombe a town or a village? Well, there was an article in the Wiveliscombe Messenger that has just come out just about this. What is Wiveliscombe's status? Is it a town or is it a village? Well, apparently at the parish council meeting in February, the parish council decided to defer a decision on whether to change the council's name to Wiveliscombe Town Council or remain just as Wiveliscombe. And they deferred that decision to the council's AGM that's going to be held on the 10th of May. And there's some quite radical debates going on here. The parish council already represents all the people in Wiveliscombe and in the surrounding area. So why should Wiveliscombe want to become a town? Well, if you feel that Wiveliscombe is a town, and I'm in the camp that thinks, well, it is a town, there's a lot of services here, then I indeed will go along to the parish council meeting on the 10th of May. And, excuse me, that meeting will be at 7:30, and I think this is a good opportunity to decide whether Wiveliscombe is a town or a parish. Now, we've come to the end of another Somerset Is Go programme. Tune in next week when we'll have Philip Knighton featuring the Wellington Economic Partnership. Goodbye from me, Eddie Gaines.